Hear that? It's the call of the Crave. And when the Crave calls, you know what to do. Try the $5 Bacon Bundle. Because the only thing better than a White Castle slider is a White Castle slider topped with crispy hickory smoked bacon. So pick any two of either the Bacon Cheese Slider, 1921 Bacon Cheese Slider, or Chicken Bacon Ranch Slider. And also get a small fry for just $5 with the $5 Bacon Bundle. White Castle. Follow your Crave.
When your space has the long-lasting, noticeable scent of Airwick Vibrant Scented Oils, you'll want to invite everyone over, from book club to the fantasy league, even the in-laws.
It smells amazing.
Airwick Vibrant Scented Oils are infused with 2 times more natural essential oils versus regular Airwick scented oils for our most authentic, nature-inspired fragrance experience. Transform your space with scents like white sage and mahogany or lavender and water lily. Now that's a breath of fresh Airwick.
Voy a ponerme la vacuna Prevnar 20 porque estoy en riesgo de contraer la neumonía neumocócica,
la cual pudiera llevarme al hospital. Así que preguntaré sobre Prevnar 20.
65 años o más, puedes estar en mayor riesgo de contraer la neumonía neumocócica. Pregunta a tu médico o farmacéutico acerca de vacunarte con Prevnar 20. Vacuna conjugada antineumocócica 20 valente. Una vacuna de Pfizer que puede ayudar a proteger contra la neumonía neumocócica con una sola dosis. Prevnar 20 está aprobada para adultos para ayudar a prevenir infecciones contra 20 cepas de la bacteria que causa la neumonía neumocócica. La aprobación continua puede depender de un estudio de apoyo. No uses Prevnar 20 si has tenido una reacción alérgica grave a la vacuna o a sus componentes. Adultos con sistemas inmunitarios debilitados pueden tener una respuesta reducida a la vacuna. El efecto secundario más reportado fue dolor en el área de la inyección. Para más efectos secundarios comunes e información completa de prescripción, llama al 1-855-213-2138 o visita Prevnar20enespañol.com. Pregunta a tu médico o farmacéutico sobre Prevnar 20.
Voy a ponerme la vacuna Prevnar 20 porque estoy en riesgo de contraer la neumonía neumocócica,
la cual pudiera llevarme al hospital. Así que preguntaré sobre Prevnar 20.
65 años o más, puedes estar en mayor riesgo de contraer la neumonía neumocócica. Pregunta a tu médico o farmacéutico acerca de vacunarte con Prevnar 20. Vacuna conjugada antineumocócica 20 valente. Una vacuna de Pfizer que puede ayudar a proteger contra la neumonía neumocócica con una sola dosis. Prevnar 20 está aprobada para adultos para ayudar a prevenir infecciones contra 20 cepas de la bacteria que causa la neumonía neumocócica. La aprobación continua puede depender de un estudio de apoyo. No uses Prevnar 20 si has tenido una reacción alérgica grave a la vacuna o a sus componentes. Adultos con sistemas inmunitarios debilitados pueden tener una respuesta reducida a la vacuna. El efecto secundario más reportado fue dolor en el área de la inyección. Para más efectos secundarios comunes e información completa de prescripción, llama al 1-855-213-2138 o visita Prevnar20enespañol.com. Pregunta a tu médico o farmacéutico sobre Prevnar 20.
K100 with Conan and Disco has a new sponsor this week, Freedom Grooming. Freedom Grooming specializes in shavers for the follically challenged among us, including myself. With the Flex Series, you can get the smoothest shave of your life. Flexible blades contour to the shape of your head for a baby smooth shave every time. And it shaves 50% more hair in a single stroke compared to traditional razors. Expect shave times of only 2 to 3 minutes. And never cut your head shaving again. The Flex Series safeguard technology means no nicks, no ingrown hairs, and no problems. And the Flex Series waterproof design means you can shave in the shower, with or without shaving cream, or shave wet or dry. And if you want to check out the Close Shave Plan, you know, since even the sharpest blades dull with use, Freedom created the Close Shave Plan. With the Close Shave Plan, you'll never run out of fresh, sharp blades delivered to your door every 6 weeks with free shipping. And all active Close Shave Plan members are upgraded to a lifetime warranty. And it's completely customizable. Adjust, skip, or cancel your plan at any time. And the products are so excellent, Freedom Grooming has over 10,000 five-star reviews. Check out this review from Kevin L. This shaver is by far the best purchase I made in a long time. I use it daily to maintain a smooth, soft head. It glides effortlessly over my head to cut every hair to the skin every time. And the best part is it never causes bumps or nicks, and it cuts perfectly around my ears every time. A perfect gift for anyone that enjoys a baby smooth head. And to thank the loyal listeners of K100, we've partnered with Freedom to give you an exclusive 20% off when you go to freedomgrooming.com/Conan. That's freedomgrooming.com/Conan, K-O-N-N-A-N. freedomgrooming.com/Conan.
Yo, we're back with another episode of K100 Talks. What's the topic this week, Disco?
Kind of a polarizing topic that's heating up. It's this LIV Golf Tour.
Right.
All right. And basically, for people that don't know, this is the gist of it, and this is why it's an alternate tour. Okay, there's 8 events, right? And bro, like they got like 48 people participating right now. Okay, so it's like definitely a smaller tour than like 3 times as many golfers for each event than a PGA would have, right? But the most fascinating thing about it is the amount of money that they're paying. Now, the Saudis have come. This is backed by the Saudis. It's this fund that the Saudis are using. It's called the Public Investment Fund, right? And MBS, the guy that basically controls it, okay? But what they're doing, it's like it's got $600 billion. And the point of this fund was to basically – we're going to like the Saudis are trying to make their country more westernized. Like they want to kind of like they've kind of like been in this thing over the years with their old school and stuff. I mean, they're just like an old school richest country in the world, right? But with this public investment fund, they're investing their money in like a lot of things. And one of the things they're investing in is this new golf tour, okay? Because they want to show the world that, like, hey, if you let us get into these businesses, we have a better product to offer possibly, okay? Now, perfect example, this past U.S. Open, the prize pool was $17 million and, like, up from 12.5 last year. Like the PGA now is, like I said, we got to start bumping our money up, okay, to compete with this, right? But what the Saudis have done is they've offered these guys signing bonuses to come play in their – to come play in their league, right? Bro, Conan, do you hear how much money in signing bonuses they offered like Phil Mickelson and Dustin Johnson?
Yeah.
$200 million, a signing bonus to Phil Mickelson.
Yeah, I remember that. Wow. When Charles Barkley heard that, he goes, for $200 million, I'd kill a relative.
I mean, bro, this is it's like, how can you, like, these people are being demonized, but, like, if you're an athlete and competing for prizes, it's like, how could you possibly turn this money down? You know what I'm saying? So they're punishing.
And not only that, bro, you can't be hypocritical and go, okay, even though Saudi Arabia has a lot of human rights abuses, you don't got to look further than your own fucking country. You know, right. Whether it's African Americans or Latinos or, you know what I'm saying? There's a lot of human rights violations here too. But yet we want to tell Saudi Arabia how to run their fucking country. And that's one of the problems with the United States. They want to be the world's policeman. And some places just aren't prone to democracy. They have their own style of government. You know, they have over there, you know, in Saudi Arabia, fatwas, which are, you know, those legal edicts. And they have, you know, that Sharia law is based on the Quran. It's just a different culture. You know what I'm saying? But go ahead.
Where are people complaining about all this? What, on their social media accounts? On their social media accounts that are owned partially by Saudi Arabia.
Well, let me give you this thing, because this is where this gets humorous to me, and how the fake outrage and stuff. You know, they're talking about, oh, Saudi, and stuff. Okay, well, let me tell you some of the things that the Public Investment Fund has stakes in. Okay.
Yeah.
They got a 5% stake in Uber.
Yeah, there you go.
Are you gonna boycott Uber?
Probably not.
Are you gonna call Uber when you need a ride? Okay, yeah. They got a 5% stake in the video game companies Capcom and Nexon.
Mm.
You're not gonna play their video games, all right? Well, how about this? They got a 5% stake in Live Nation.
Oh, so
you're not gonna go see concerts anymore?
Mm-hmm.
You know, bro, it's just like people like some of the other places, Boeing, they're invested in Citigroup, Facebook, Disney, Bank of America. It's like, bro, these people have invested money all over, but it's like, for some reason, we let the conversations get, get hijacked by the complainers and the fake outrage people, right? But, and it's kind of filtered into, you know, the media with the way they're treating these live golfers. Oh, that seems like blood money. It's dark money. It's like, and like a lot of these guys, Bryson DeChambeau said, look, this is like an 8-tour schedule. I can make like 3 times the money I'm making on the PGA tour. We're working like way less events. And I've got a few kids I want to raise, and I get to spend a lot of time with my kids now. And it's like, how can anybody even argue with that? But like a personal decision for somebody like that wants to give you $125 million as a signing bonus. But here's the most fascinating thing about it too. So Justin Thomas won the PGA Championship last year, made $2.15 million, right? So here is how the LIV Golf Tour breaks down their money. Okay, it's eight events, right? Each event features a total purse of $25 million, including $20 million in individual prize money based on traditional stroke play. Just to put that in perspective, you have about 150 golfers in the U.S. Open playing for $17.5 million. These tournaments, you have 48 golfers playing for $25 million. The first place individual finisher wins $4 million. This is each event. They have the same prize pool. $2.1 million for second, $1.5 million for third, and $1.1 million for fourth. Every top 11 finisher receives at least $500,000, and every top 15 finisher receives at least $250,000. And the last place finisher gets $120,000. An additional $5 million goes to the top three teams, $3 million for first place and $15 million for second and $500,000 for third. Charles Schwartzel, who he won the 2011 Masters and he made like $1.25 million, he made $4.75 million in his first event. And it's like, remember when the Chelsea and Liverpool and Real Madrid and all these teams were getting Bayern Munich were going to get together and start this Super League? And yep. All the other leagues shut it down. You know what I'm saying? Because eventually let's be honest, a Super League would have been a great idea for fans because all you would have is this league of all the good teams that draw high ratings playing each other, on a pretty consistent basis. Instead of having to play like the shitty teams and stuff, you have to watch that. You got to watch Watford against Liverpool or Liverpool against one of these crummy teams and that's on TV. But as opposed to if with the Super League, it would have been Liverpool versus Real Madrid, the Bayern Munich the next week and stuff. But it's just a better option for the golfers. It's a way better option. And it's I don't know how anybody could be critical of anybody playing in this event. And unless you just want to do the fake outrage of, it was a human rights violation. It's Jesus, we deal with a lot of countries that have human rights violations. And it's where's your sensibilities if you're going to be fake outraged about one thing and not outraged about another thing that's basically on the same par? What are your thoughts?
Well, like I said before, it's just the dichotomy, the oxymoron of it, that we're trying to tell, don't go to Saudi Arabia because of human rights violations when, like I said before, we've got a grip here, whether it's racism, police brutality, the largest prison population in the world, not to mention the highest number of juveniles in the prison system. To me, lack of universal health care is a human right. Fucking the tortures of prisoners, all the black sites, all the fucking extrajudicial, fucking killings that they do. That's, they pay money and nobody to these groups, mercenaries, nobody's, if they catch you, you have no links with the government. You know what I'm saying? We do a lot of fucked up shit here for us to go over there and start, wagging our finger at them. And that's that's one of the reasons why we have so much heat,
Yeah, and, because we're very hypocritical in our sensibilities around the world.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? It's but here's another reason why a lot of people are, kind of critical of this tour. Let me read you some of the places they're playing. The Centurion Club in Hempstead, New York, UK was their first event, right? This week they're in Portland, Oregon playing at Pumpkin Ridge. And then guess where they're going next? Bedminster, New Jersey for Trump National. And then September they're playing at the International in Massachusetts at Rich Harvest Farms in Illinois. They go to Thailand and play in Bangkok at Stonehill. Go to Saudi Arabia and play at the Royal Greens in Jeddah, and then they come back for the championship. And guess where the championship is, Conan? Doral, Florida, Trump National Golf Course. So you can see why,
and then
Trump's name's this, and that's triggering people too. It's crazy.
Yeah,
right?
Because you're a big golf fan, I'm not. Mm-hmm. Didn't Mickelson get thrown out of the PGA?
Yeah, they kicked all these guys off the PGA, so they can't compete. But the thing is, here's the thing. You can't play the PGA Tour events, you can't play in the Masters, and you can't play in the PGA Championship, right? However, the U.S. Open Championship and the British Open Championships, they're literally open championships where literally anybody can compete and anybody can qualify, which is why you have a lot of amateurs. They go to the – they have tournaments that the – at your local golf club and everything. And the guy wins, and like he's eligible for the U.S. For the Open Championship. So these guys, these live golfers, can still play in the PGA, or excuse me, in the U.S. Open and in the British Open, but they just can't play in those other two or any other PGA Tour events. But they're working like a third less schedule and making like three times the money. You know, so it's like Brooks Koepka went today. That's a big get for them.
Here's the other thing you have to understand. I was stationed in a place called Bahrain, which is on the Persian Gulf. Bahrain is kind of like a island a couple miles off of Saudi Arabia. That's like where all this really high in tourism, because that's where, you know, Saudi Arabia has Sharia law and they're very conservative and all that. You would go to this island. It was kind of like Las Vegas. You know, it's very mm-hmm. westernized. But even though they spoke English, a lot of people spoke English there, but still they had those old Arab customs. You know, you went in there. I remember a lot of men would be walking down the street holding hands. I get that's a cultural thing there. You know, all the women, I'd never seen women dressed from head to toe in robes. You couldn't take pictures of the women because it was considered stealing their spirit. So I remember that we would actually have our friends, because I wanted to get a picture of what they look like to bring back home, because we're talking about the 80s. And so we would get in front of a store and pretend we were taking a picture of my friend in front of the store. We were really trying to take a picture of the women in the gear, and they'd actually hide their faces and shit. Women were not allowed to talk to foreigners. Cops would actually stop you and go, please do not talk to the women. It was very opulent. I remember that we had these big markets, bazaars. They have some Arab name. It'll come to me later on. Where it's just blocks of jewelry and jewelry and jewelry. You saw Mercedes-Benz everywhere. Because, you know, Bahrain and Saudi Arabia were just two sleepy desert places until like around the 30s or the 40s when they discovered oil. Then the mm-hmm. Americans went in there and they helped them, you know, extrapolate it and all that. But just my point is, it's even when I went there, I felt like, and I traveled around the world in the Navy, and it just felt like I was in a different
world.
It was very, very, very different. They grow up different, you know?
Yeah.
They have different religions. Like over there, if you talk shit about religion, they'll kill you. It's considered blasphemy. Right. Sharia law, they'll stone you to death. Imagine that. Mm-hmm. I remember that they had hangings. Like if you kill somebody, they would hang you. And I remember I asked, because, you know, the morbid part of me, the Joe Feeney part of me, was like, hey, when do you have your next hanging? They're like, oh, we haven't had a hanging in 2 years. Mm. And I was like, that's a pretty good deterrent. But culturally, they've been socially, they've been, you know, this guy's trying to modernize the product, you know, been
MBS.
Yeah. And, you know, his family's been in control since like the 30s, 40s, maybe even before then, that just like in Bahrain, they have like the, what's the family called? Al Khalifa. They've been in control since like the 1800s. But anyways, so, you know, women couldn't vote there till like 20, to like 5 years ago.
Yeah, or drive, you right?
know? Yeah, or drive.
They can, yeah.
Yeah. So, yeah, they've been behind on a lot of stuff. Like, they do not accept in any form or fashion homosexuality or LGBTQ. Like, you're in the wrong country if you're over there. But that's their culture and that's their custom. You know, maybe in 20 years, they'll be more advanced. You know, 20 years ago, nobody was for gay marriage in the United States. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
But
yeah.
Our thought process evolved, and maybe it's taken them a little longer to evolve. But I don't think democracy is the way they want to run their lives. They want to run it, you know, through the Quran, and they're more religious over there. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah,
and that's what we don't want. That's what we don't want to accept.
But here's what they're trying to do. They're trying to navigate their way slowly away from, like, you know, their adherence to the religion, to try to, like, you know, like, how do you – it's like they don't want to give up their religious principles, but they just want to make it kind of like, bro, like, you couldn't – like they had their first concerts there in, like, forever. Like, right. I don't think they had – you know, like that was not a – like things that basically hardline religious people would never allow – MBS is kind of like saying, hey, look, this is 2022. We kind of maybe start allowing some of this stuff, because it doesn't really – it's not really against the religious principles to go to go watch – like, bro, that's like forms of entertainment are not allowed there. A lot of the forms of basic – and they're saying like you know, maybe we should enjoy some of the entertainment. You know what I'm saying? It's like, and like I'm like the type of guy that, like, if these guys have $600 billion that they want to spend throughout the world, it's like, you know, I know they got, you know, that's kind of a nice way of saying, like, hey, we want to try and, like, make good with people more and to show how much we're going to spend a ton of money doing it. And, like, you guys can, we're going to enrich people to try to accept us more into the Western world is the way it looks. And I'm like, you kind of got to give them a chance unless they do something really stupid again. You know what I'm saying? So that's what I would say.
It's a religion thing to me that gets me, because that's an impediment, because you've got, like, younger millennials and younger forward thinkers, like, you know, the young guy that's in there now, but they're still clashing with the hardliners who believe in Sharia law, who believe in that they have this thing there. And basically Saudi Arabia was found by, like, two guys. One of them is, like, the great-grandfather or great-great-grandfather of this guy that's in power now, and another guy who is the head of a – what's that shit called? Wahhabi, which is, like, really strict Islamic shit. So you've got this – I don't know how much of the population, somebody that's Arab out there listening to this and could tell us, you know, is for, like, the old-school way of thinking, the Sharia law and all that, and how much – you know, and I think, like anything else, the old hardliners will start dying away and the more moderate forward thinkers will start taking over. And sooner or later, we're going to see a Saudi Arabia that looks more like the United States than it does now. But at the end of the day, they're still going to be, you know, beholden to their religious principle, because it is an Islamic nation. You know, what's kind of weird, though, is that if you think about it, Saddam Hussein, who is Arabian, and, you know, more than half of the guys in the 911 thing were Arabian, from Saudi Arabia, you know. So there's still a lot of people in Saudi Arabia that are anti-American, but you also have a lot of moderates who are like, hey, maybe we need to be friends with them. So there's definitely a power struggle there. And if somebody could tell me how many people are with the hardliners and how many people were the forward thinkers, I'd be interested in hearing that.
Yeah,
Bill Maher did a bit on that. I'll find it for you. But here's something that I found interesting. So it says Saudi Arabia funds new digital news platform in the U.S. and launches White House lobbying effort. Saudi Arabia is funding a digital news platform that will feature some U.S.-based media professionals as it begins a new lobbying effort. The platform will have its studio in Washington, D.C. So there's going to be a new news platform that they're going to own, and it's going to be based in America, in Washington, D.C., and American reporters and staff and all are going to work for them. But why is that – why are people going to have a problem with that? Why is that weird and ironic?
Well let me tell you two – let me just tell you two things real quick.
Because they killed that Washington Post reporter. But if you're a reporter, are you going to turn down their money to go work for them if they offer you $600,000?
No,
you know what I mean?
Of course not.
Here's the problem with Saudi Arabia, though. The best – newscast that I've ever seen, and I said it before, and I was watching when I was in Qatar, was Al Jazeera. It was incredibly honest and refreshing, and I thought it was going to be very slanted, you know, Arabian point of view, anti-American. Now they kept it 100 like this show, boom. But here's the problem in Saudi Arabia. They still have, you know, a lot of censorship. Like, you can't do things that they consider pornographic,
right?
Anything that has to do anything, and you know this would drive the snowflakes crazy here, anything that has to do with LGBTQ, you ain't making it on the air. You can't even have a website. You can't talk about any other religion other than theirs, which is like Sunni Islam. So there's still a lot of restrictions, and they have like a blacklist. You know, there's still a lot of censorship. You know, and you can't truly be democratic if you have censorship.
Right. You can't.
But I just think it's a nation that's, you know, trying to modernize itself, maybe not as fast as we want, but it's not our country. You know,
right.
Let them do shit at their speed. Let them do shit the way they need to do it. And let's be friends with them if we can. The problem is that, you know,
you want to be allies with people with nations that have a lot of money.
Right.
That doesn't hurt. You know,
right. So, and they spend a lot of it on, like, they like after, like, I believe it's the United States and China, they spend the most money on the military. Where do you think they're getting all their military hardware from us?
Right.
But yeah, it's a very interesting topic. You know, a lot of people are being chastised for going to Saudi Arabia for making a lot of money because of human right issues. When I say, hey, we got human right issues here and you have no problem playing any concerts here. But of course, here we hide it and we're hypocritical about it. And then we like to point the finger at other countries. That's where other countries go, hey, why are you pointing the fingers at us when you got your own fucking problems, whether it's police brutality, whether it's the largest, you know, bro, think about it. China has four times our population. We have more people in prison. And that's an autocratic society, you know, prison for profit. I mean, we got our own human and bread, the black sites. You know, we've heard about those, the torture of fucking citizens. That's very well documented. Those are human rights violations. And I'll be damned if, to me, not having health care doesn't fall under that. But anyway, very interesting subject.
Well, hang on. Let me answer your question real quick before we wrap. It's that a poll recently from, you know, taken in Saudi Arabia was the amount of people who want to interpret Islam in a more moderate, tolerant, and modern direction has dropped 5 points to only 20%. So 80% of the country is happy with the way things are, right? So there's,
wow.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
Yeah, well.
All right. Good piece of information there, Joe. But anyways, very interesting subject. I'm sure people have their opinion on this. So if you do, send it to the mailbag at K100Questions, correct, Joe?
K100Questions@gmail.com, yes, sir.
All right. And that has been K100 Talks. Boom.
Life is a highway. And on it, there will be many chicken sandwiches. But there's only one McCrispy. So go ahead and hit the turn signal if you know about this juicy gem of a detour.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
While no one knows what tomorrow may bring, Bridgestone is working toward a more positive outlook. With innovations like developing a tire using 75% recycled and renewable materials. It's just one of the many ways Bridgestone is making a difference today, for generations to come. Because that's what really matters. Bridgestone, solutions for your journey. Visit whatreallymatters.com to learn more.
Who doesn't love a classic chocolate chip cookie? Famous Amos has been making them since the 70s, 1975 to be exact. With semi-sweet chocolate chips and a satisfying crunch, it's everything classic in one bite-sized cookie. And fans couldn't get enough. That's right. You'll find our original recipe, the one you know and love, in every bag of Famous Amos original chocolate chip cookies. Find Famous Amos anywhere you buy your favorite snacks.
Start clean with Clorox, because Clorox delivers a powerful clean every time. Because messes happen. Because...
Hey, listen. Remember how you told me to toss those takeout containers before we left for vacation? And you were like, I'm serious. If that leaks over the counter, it'll be a slimy abomination by the time I get back. And I was like, yeah, of course. Don't worry about it. I won't forget. Well...
Ooh, yeah, that happens. So start clean with Clorox. Use Clorox products as directed. Rinse after use if in contact with food surface.